When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Greg Jennings. He's the Gottlieb in for
Whitlock. Call it, coward. I sit in for you so you can go skiing last week and you get the Jennings is there, Jason McIntyre's there, Hushmanzada's there, no mention of me.
Yeah, I got you. This is my guy,
Doug Gottlieb.
That plays
off the show. That's the real
We're in for Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined today by former Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and the founder of the big league, Jason McIntyre. Week 17 is in the books, so let's get started. Starting with the Cowboys, who beat the Giants yesterday thanks to a big game out of Dak Prescott. Dak is still trying to quiet his doubters, and while he tries to stay as hot as Dallas hosts Seattle in this week's wild card game. But he's not the only Cowboy with some unfinished business. Jason Garrett has only one playoff win in his 8+ years as Dallas' head coach. Doug, I ask you first, who has more to prove, Dak or Garrett?
I think it's Dak. Look, they're going to be forever tied at the hip, right? As Dak struggled this year before the trade was made, it looked like both were going down a path of, hey, maybe they need another quarterback or maybe they need a head coach. You win 10 games, which is the third time in 5 years they've won 10 games. They only had one bad season since he's been head coach. That's when both Tony Romo and Dez Bryant both got hurt in the exact same year. So I think he saved his job. He'll be good there, and he showed that he understood his team. It's a run-oriented, defensive-oriented team that on third down, they allowed Dak to roll out and now find his new weaponry. But for Dak Prescott, he wants quarterback money in the offseason, right? He's been paid at a level not commensurate with the starting quarterback of the Cowboys. The best way to do that is show us you're a franchise quarterback. Show us you can win in the postseason, not just in the regular season. I think they're tied at the hip, but if it's me, who's got more pressure to perform? I think it's Dak Prescott. He has yet to win a playoff game, and he lost at home to the Green Bay Packers, and he's playing for a next contract.
I'm with you on this one. I think Dak Prescott has more to prove, and the reason why is because Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones have placed all the personnel around him to be successful. And when you look at quarterbacks in this league, when do you make your money? It's in the playoffs. His rookie year, they went to the playoffs, nothing to prove. We're on our rookie run. Myself and Ezekiel Elliott and this Cowboy team, nobody knows who you really are, so we'll give you a pass. Now the pressure is mounting. Now we need you to step up, going up against a Seattle team with a Russell Wilson who we know is going to put on the show. We know what Russell Wilson can do. Can you be the reason why your team wins instead of your team having to support you?
No, Jeff, you guys, what you're missing here is it's Jason Garrett, and here's why. What did he just do in Week 17? He played most of his starters. He kept Zeke out. 2 years ago, guys, Jason Garrett, same spot, week 17. Let's get our guys some rest. We'll play him a series. He knows the pressure's on. Jason Garrett has so much to prove here. If you think back to that Packers game, Gottlieb, what did Dak do? 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. He looked good. He wasn't the reason they lost that. The ill-equipped for facing the Packers right out of the gate, it's on Jason Garrett, that last playoff loss. Now he's got to show up this week. He's at home. He's favored. This is a spot he has to deliver a great game. We know Dak is a game manager. He's probably not a franchise guy. Jason Garrett, 8 years. It's time to win another playoff game.
Yeah, me and Jason are on the same page here. It's more pressure on Jason Garrett. It's Dak Prescott in his only playoff game as a rookie, balled out. They lost that game to the Green Bay. It wasn't his fault that they lost. What they did yesterday by sitting offensive lineman Ezekiel Elliott was showing Dak, when we need you, you can do it. Dak is flying high. He's feeling the way he played yesterday. Yeah, they're playing the Giants. It's not a big – he played great. He went down the field, made that great throw to Cole Beasley. It was a great catch, but it was a great throw on the run moving to his left. Jason Garrett is 1-2 in the playoffs. And every other week during this season, it was, oh, man, Jason, they need to get rid of Jason. Dak Prescott is what he is. He's going to get between $18 and $24 million a year. Nothing more than that, in my opinion. He is what he is. He's proven if you give him a good team, he can get the job done. Jason Garrett hasn't proven, at least to me, that he can win big games in the playoffs and lead his team where they need to go.
Yeah, Jason Garrett doesn't lead his team. He's not the quarterback of the football team, right?
He's like, a head coach.
Yeah, I understand that. And they did rework, you know, his staff in the offseason, which put him clearly under pressure. But they're not getting rid of Jason Garrett. He just won 10 games, won the division, saved the season. And I think what you saw, based upon their ability to run the football, especially you lose Travis Frederick for the year to start the year. Like, this thing was a mess. It's a mess. And Jason, you said they went for it yesterday. Like, no, they didn't. They didn't play Zach Martin.
He's injured. They had to hold him out. But they played their starters.
No, they didn't.
They played Leighton Vander Esch, Amari Cooper.
Here's what they did. They had to run their starters out there.
He had to change it up.
No, he wanted to win 10 games. Because he knows he wins 10 games, he wins his league, he's good. He wins his division, he's good. Nobody's messing with him. Dak, as you point out, I agree with you. He's like $18, $20 million. I feel good. But tell Dak Prescott that. He's like, look, I've been making a couple hundred grand here playing as quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's thinking, I want Kirk Cousins plus money.
If he wants Kirk Cousins plus money,
then what's he have to do?
Hey, they all
ball out in the playoffs per Greg Jennings.
I don't care who you are. When you watch the Dallas Cowboys, when you watch any game this weekend, are you going to say, man, their coach better win this game? No, you're going to say these guys have to step up and play. And when we look at the playoffs alone, we understand and we know if your quarterback is not willing to step up and make big plays, you are quicker to exit than the guys who have
to go down the players.
TJ, I love how everybody wants to toss these quarterbacks out. Oh, let's get rid of them. Okay, Ryan Tannehill's going to hit the market. Nobody wants him. Joe Flacco. There's so many quarterbacks around the league. There's no way they're making a move on Dak.
It's always on the players. Now, don't get me wrong. It's always on. The players are the ones that go out there and play. Jason Garrett has been in Dallas a long time. Dak Prescott has played well when given he had – if it's about wins, no quarterback has won more than him in the first 3 years of their career. Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody.
Let me just ask you this. Who do you think wins, Seattle or Dallas?
Dallas.
Why?
Just because their defense is that strong.
But I would say the only reason you would pick Seattle, who has an equally outstanding running game with Chris Carson, right, over 1,000 yards rushing, but the only reason you would pick Seattle would be – because of the quarterback situation, correct? You go like, well, Russell Wilson,
100%.
Which shows the question he asked was, who has more to prove? And Dak Prescott has more to prove.
So the Cowboys win this game and the defense carries them? You're going to say Dak Prescott did that? If the Cowboys win this game and the defense
It depends how the game goes, but yes. But, like, look, if you watch the Cowboys, they're based upon – they have a great defense and they have a good running game.
Pete Carroll versus Jason Garrett is a bigger mismatch than Russell Wilson versus Dak Prescott, just for the record.
That's Jason McIntyre for you. Right. It's in Minnesota where Kirk Cousins and the Vikings folded up like a cheap tent in the face of pressure yesterday. An ugly loss to the Bears cost them a playoff spot. Minnesota's offense put up a whopping 164 yards. I believe I walked that far from my car today. The most explosive play Cousins made all day was a sideline argument with Adam Thielen. Greg, we've seen this from Cousins before. Does he deserve all the blame?
He doesn't deserve all the blame, but he deserves like 90% of the blame. And I've defended Kirk Cousins all year. And his stats have proven that he can put up numbers. He'll put the ball in the end zone. He'll rack up a bunch of yards. But can he win the big game? And the answer is simple. It's no. I thought he would be able to do it. And when you paid, I don't care who you are, when you're paid that amount of money, the expectations are to win. And did he get that done yesterday? No. 132 yards. You made a good point on the herd earlier. 27 yards with 2 minutes left in the first half.
A minute and 30 seconds.
Like, can't do that. Listen, you can't win with a guy like that.
I explained last week to people that we like to put out the $84 million. They weren't even the highest bidder. Okay, this was a guy capitalizing on the market, and the fact that the market did not have another starting quarterback. Case Keenum, whose coach got fired today, was the second best option. Minnesota had him, knew he's not good enough. A.J. McCarron, like, who are you? If you don't like Kirk Cousins, where are they going to go? Sam Bradford, right? He lasted one game for Minnesota last year. They couldn't win with him. Teddy Bridgewater, we saw how good he looked, and his knee was not sound. They couldn't make him their franchise quarterback. So I do think we get locked in on the number. Do I put blame on Kirk Cousins' shoulders? Of course. But I also give a little bit, just a smidge, like a lot maybe, of credit to the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no question.
Like, this is not the first quarterback that we've made look like, wait, did, when I saw them play the Rams, I thought Jared Goff might be scared to death. He looked like a deer in the headlights at that pass rush. Fair?
Agreed.
Aaron Rodgers, who I think is the greatest quarterback to ever play under center in the National Football League, looked average at best against the same defense. So, look, it's really easy to pile on. But they had a first-time offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator who did not work. They fired him. Dalvin Cook was not healthy and was not sound. The offensive line, when Tony Sparano died, that offensive line is not the same without their offensive line coach. Does Cousins deserve some blame? Yes. Is his contract the reason we're talking about him? Yes. But the fact is, he is not solely to blame. Some of it is the fact the Bears will make you look like a JV quarterback.
I think Greg said 90%. Is that what you said for Kirk? That's a little high, Greg. I would go closer to 60. As Doug alluded to, that offensive line was in shambles all season. Every time he dropped back, it collapsed like a table. I mean, it was ugly for him. I do want to add this. I have been a Kirk Cousins defender. He statistically had one of his best seasons ever. Most touchdown passes, fewest interceptions, highest completion percentage. But the number I can't get by is 4-25 against teams with winning records. You know who does that? That's like Matthew Stafford, okay? And we know he hasn't won anything in his career.
Another very highly paid, talented
quarterback. I'm a Kirk Cousins guy. It's tough to defend him here. I think they'll bounce back strong next year, but it's not like they lost to a lot of bad teams, okay? As you said, this is the Bears, number one defense in the NFL.
You say 90%, I say 99%.
Oh. Because
come on, man.
Too much is given, much is expected. Too much is given, much is expected. You have two great receivers. You got Diggs and Adam Thielen. And you bring up the Rams. They played outdoors. This is indoors in Minnesota with two good receivers. You should be able to – you should not be the reason they don't win. You should – he threw for 160 yards. His record against teams with winning record, he loses 85% of those games. You lose 85% of the games versus
Washington Redskins. In fairness, when he's with the Washington Redskins, were they a good football team?
No, but Washington.
No, they were terrible. But they were a bad football team.
The Washington Redskins, they saw what Minnesota did not see. A lot of fluff in his stats.
Sure.
They saw that.
I think Minnesota saw that. I really, like, we're sitting there thinking, we think they paid him that money because they thought he was
Aaron
Rodgers.
We can't give a quarterback all the credit in the world when their team wins. And when they flop like this, he deserves the blame.
I understand, but you also, look, you've played and starred in the NFL. You can respect this. Like, dude, if you have no time to drop back and pass, I mean, that's what that argument was over, right? He's running a corner.
It was over the angle, as you know. He wanted them to come flat, and Thielen went high.
And honestly, when I saw that play, I'm in agreement with Adam Thielen, because if you're leaving with the corner, you're leaving.
Yes.
It's just like running a goal route. You got to go. Give me the opportunity to go make a play.
And throw it up and let your wide receiver make it.
Yes, and let them. That's what they've done all year.
Okay.
That's why
you guys are great.
But now
how
all of a
do
sudden.
How often you think they practice that? Now, we get man-to-man. We go high angle.
Here's why it makes my point. Because now all of a sudden, you don't give us a chance to make that play? Like, all year you've thrown it up and given me a chance to make the play. Now, everything has to go exactly right. No, we brought you here. We were in the NFC Championship game last year. We bring you here, and this is why Minnesota brought him here instead of going with Case Keenum. Because they thought he would give us that slight edge.
He put us over the
top.
He
would tilt the scale, and he has simply not done that.
Hey, look, I think that's fair, but we also we look back on last year. Like, dude, it took a miracle to beat the Saints at home, okay?
True.
And remember, the division they won, Aaron Rodgers was hurt.
Yes.
The Bears were a disaster and fired their coach.
And the Vikings defense was pretty good last year.
The Vikings defense was arguably the best in football. Yeah. It hasn't been as good. So you're not wrong. They wanted stability. He brings stability. And I think the reason he didn't read that play correctly was he was seeing shadows. He was seeing ghosts, right? He's seeing Khalil Mack. Where's
he
at? I don't have
10
seconds. I don't have 10 seconds.
There's something about auctions that makes shopping much more enjoyable. Sports fans, it probably has something to do with the competition and suspense that auctions provide. But who wants to spend time researching where their nearest auction house is and then make the trek all the way there? I definitely don't. And that's why I love Pristine Auction, an online sports auction house where you can buy and sell sports memorabilia from the comfort of your home. Pristine Auctions runs tons of different auction formats, including multiple weekly auctions, a premium monthly auction, as well as daily and 10-minute auctions. They guarantee the authenticity of their items, and everything you purchase comes with authentication from the most trusted sources. And the best part is, it's so affordable. I just saw an autographed Magic Johnson photo that sold for only $12. There's plenty more where that came from, too. Check out Pristine Auction now. You'll be hooked. It's free to register, free to bid, and only you pay for the items you win. That's Pristine Auction, spelled P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And when you register, be sure to select the Speak for Yourself podcast from the drop-down menu in the How Did You Hear About Us section. This lets them know I sent you.
Time for a big story. Greg Jennings and Doug Gottlieb in for Whitlock and Wiley. TJ Houshmandzadeh, Jason McIntyre are back. Let's return to the NFL, where the Steelers beat the Bengals yesterday, but were eliminated from the playoffs after the Ravens held on to beat the Browns. It's the first time Pittsburgh has missed the postseason since 2013. And while Big Ben says he's optimistic about next year, the tension between Ben and Tomlin this year has been undeniable. Doug, can Ben and Tomlin coexist next season?
Well, they better, because you don't have a choice, right? I mean, the only thing harder to find a coach that has credibility from winning two Super Bowls is finding a quarterback that has won two Super Bowls. They're not, like, you're not going to retire Big Ben, are you? You handpicked his offensive coordinator, and you focus the offense around him, and you're not going to fire Mike Tomlin. That's not what the Steelers do. Plus, I don't blame a healthy amount of the blame on him. Some blame on him, but I think they're forever tied at the hip. They're going to have to figure it out, aren't they? I mean, look, the Steelers, let's just be honest, if not for a fluky play in Denver, if not for a fluky injury in Oakland, win one of those two games, and they're in the playoffs. As much dysfunction as they had, if they're in the playoffs, they're as dangerous a team as anybody. Their offensive line needs work. Gave up the most sacks of anybody in the National Football League. 51 sacks, tied for the most in the league. They're also bad at turning the football over. Big Ben, 15 interceptions. And they're not taking the ball away. Only 18 takeaways, which in new age statistics in the National Football League, what are you on third down? They don't get off the field. What are you in the red zone? And do you take it away and do you turn it over? They're bad in most of those categories, and they stop running the football, 31st in the league in rushing. I think they have some issues. All that said, they're this close to making the playoffs, a lot like we saw with the Ravens. I just don't think you can make a quarterback change, and I know they're not making a coaching change, so they're going to have to figure out a way to coexist.
I'm going to be quick here because I'm very interested to see what TJ is going to say, but for me, I don't think they can coexist. And when I say I don't think they can coexist, I mean it equating to wins and losses when it matters. When I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they've been able to do, what they have not been able to do is win in the postseason. Since 2009, that was their last Super Bowl win. 10 and 11, they lost to the Green Bay Packers, which a team that I was on. And since then, they've just lost. They've lost. They've clashed with Ben and Tomlin every single year. The message that that Tomlin tries to convey, Ben counters, and he doesn't really push that same message coming from your leader. I don't think that that's a key to success or ways that you can build with a franchise. TJ, tell me I'm wrong.
They have to coexist. Now, how I look at it is Mike Tomlin is a defensive guy. Big Ben is technically the head coach of the offense. They do not run the ball at all. They don't even attempt to run the ball. Their offensive line is pretty good. Those sacks are because Ben holds on to the ball, always looking for a big play. That's why they have as many sacks. It all started at the beginning of the season. When those offensive linemen came out and they called out Le'Veon Bell, there's a lot of guys on that team that are friends with Le'Veon Bell that disagreed with that. That was number one. They called out Le'Veon. Some agreed with it. Others did not. And then when Big Ben called out Antonio Brown, it's you get rid of Todd Haley. Ben wants to be in control of the offense. That's fine. The offense, the Steelers are probably the only team in the history of the NFL that did not make the playoffs, and had they made it, would have had a legitimate chance of winning it. Where does that happen? They have to make this work because it's such a good, in my opinion, partnership. The Steelers have a tremendous team. I don't know why they're not in the playoffs, but number one, it should start with, let's try and run the ball. Just try.
Well, TJ, they were down to their third string running back late in the season, Jalen Samuels.
And when he given the opportunity,
he
runs for over 100
and they
yards.
And won that game. So, listen, they're going to work together. This is like a married couple, right? These two have been together for 12 years on the same team. 12 years. Married couples have their highs. You go on awesome vacations. You have kids.
You go on vacation.
You win
all
a Super
time.
Bowl. I'm not living on vacation.
Always on vacation.
And then you have your lows where things are not going so well and missing the playoffs is a low. But ultimately, you do it for the kids, right? No.
Yes.
The married couples work things out.
Yes. No, they're
and
saying,
it all works. And the Steelers will be fine.
Look,
I'm not worried about this team at all. Well, Doug, one last point.
Yes.
Okay? They got to figure out the secondary, okay? Because in some big games this year, Phillip Rivers torched them. They've just got issues in the secondary. Otherwise, as TJ said,
there's
this
no
is a team
perfect team, though.
That could get
there's
to
no
the
perfect
Super Bowl.
Team. Every team is going to have a weakness. The Steelers is the secondary, and that's okay.
Let Doug go. He wanted to say something nice.
No, I was actually going to comment on they are like a married couple. They are staying together for the kids. The kids is however long Ben Roethlisberger can play, and ultimately it'll end up in some sort of amicable divorce where Big Ben graduates to television or retires and goes out to pasture, and then maybe Mike Tomlin goes on to TV as well.
We call that unconscious uncoupling. Remember Gwyneth Paltrow coined that?
I also think there's, splitting up together or something like that? There's a show like that where people, they're actually getting divorced but still living together to save money.
And this
That's
is,
what it feels like.
All these points are why I think that they cannot coexist. When you are on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, we don't disagree that there's dysfunction. What do you do? So do you get rid of Ben Roethlisberger? Do you get rid of Mike
Tomlin? You can't get rid of Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, so you fire Mike Tomlin.
I don't think you can fire Mike Tomlin.
So what do they do?
There's no one. I'm just saying, can they coexist?
Wait,
no.
Counseling.
Wait.
They need counseling.
Wait. He did. I'm so lost. Go.
They can't coexist. I said last week that Mike Tomlin, if they had to part ways, it would be Mike Tomlin. And the reason why is because when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you don't let that go. When you see that there's still fuel left in that tank, a quarterback in this league is so much harder to replace than a head coach.
I agree.
Ben, so much. Like, look at this offense. They give Ben. They don't even try to run the ball. They don't attempt to run
in the league.
Okay, they don't even attempt.
So wait, we both agree it's really hard to find a quarterback, right? We all agree on that. Miami Dolphins have been searching ever since Dan Marino left to find a quarterback. It's really Buffalo Bills ever since Jim Kelly been searching. We all agree. But it's equally hard to find somebody who can stand in front of a room full of men and say, hey, I've won a Super Bowl. Do it my way. We'll win a Super Bowl. Like, it's really, really hard to find a guy who commands the respect that Mike Tomlin
And that's
created.
Why there's 8 head coach and openings now, because it's not as easy as it seems.
Okay, so what you propose, that you fire Mike Tomlin? You find a TV job for him? Like, is that the proposal?
No, that's not
what we don't disagree that there's dysfunction between
that's
the two.
That's not what I'm proposing. I'm just saying the question is, can they coexist? Yeah, they may have to.
I think they can. I think they totally can.
I don't think that they can, and it will equate to wins. It
hasn't. Did you like everybody you played with or played for?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, and did your quarterbacks already always like who they played with?
No, absolutely not. And thank you for bringing that point up, because what started to happen when Aaron Rodgers started to chatter too much and Mike McCarthy started to chatter a little bit back, who won that battle? Aaron Rodgers.
Ultimately, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers won that battle. The quarterback always win when they have that type of talent.
I also think there's something else here that's at play, is that you have the Steelers and the way that they've always done business in direct conflict with the trend of the NFL in terms of Antonio Brown gets paid, Le'Veon Bell gets paid, and how that kind of all works into the future, right? The Le'Veon Bell thing screwed this whole team up. I think James Conner's a great story. He had a really good year until he got banged up. But let's be honest, like, Le'Veon Bell's an elite back, and the fact that they couldn't make it work. Some of that's on Le'Veon, but some of that's on the Steelers and the way they've always done business.
TJ Houshmandzadeh and Jason McIntyre are still here. Let's move now to the Patriots, who dominated the Jets yesterday to clinch the second seed in the AFC and a first-round bye. A lot of people have been doubting Tom Brady and company this year, but the AFC seems to be pretty wide open, and New England always finds a way, making 3 of the last 4 Super Bowls. Doug, do you expect New England to get back to the Super Bowl again?
I do not. One of the things missing on last year's playoffs, and we talked a little bit about the NFC, right, with the injuries. Remember, injuries are a huge story last year. Also in the AFC, 2 teams that should have made the playoffs that didn't, the Chargers and the Ravens. Ravens lost at home last year to the Bengals. That's why they fell out of the playoffs. And the Chargers started out 0-4, lost that game to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they got two interceptions the last 2 minutes and still couldn't close the door. I felt like the playoffs would have been completely different in the AFC if you took out the Titans and if you took out the Bills. Remember, they played the Bills and they played the Jaguars, and the reason they didn't play on the road against Pittsburgh Steelers was the old catch rule, which they've changed. The point is, I think the competition is far tougher this year in the AFC. Yes, it's the Houston Texans, who no one believes can win in the playoffs, but the Texans are far better this year than they've been previously, especially at quarterback. Yes, it's the Chargers, but dude, the Chargers got Hunter Henry back. They'll have Melvin Gordon. They'll have Austin Eckler. Dude, they have probably the defensive rookie of the year, as well as two great rush ends. And then you got the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not a huge buyer in long-term Teddy Bridgewater, but short-term, it works. It shortens the game. And in Lamar Jackson, excuse me, but it shortens the game for the best defense in football. I think the competition is better, and I think this is the weakest supporting cast Tom Brady has had in recent years. I think they have a very short playoff window.
You do.
Yes.
I don't. I just don't see why they can't make it back to the Super Bowl again. And when I look at the reasons why they can, it's because every time you set out to do or accomplish goals at the beginning of the season, and you see that the Patriots are always checking their boxes off. Win at home, check. Playoffs at home, check. Have teams come to us to play our quarterback at home, check. Defense, be decent. Don't give up oodles and noodles of points, check. Tom Brady still have a little bit of advantage when it comes down to the 2 minutes in the fourth quarter with time left on the clock. Check. They still have all those things in play. Plus, they have one of the best coaches in all of football. I just don't see anyone in the AFC who they are threatened by with them coming in and then having to go only to Kansas City, who they've already beaten.
It's a smart man. Doug, you got to listen to him. He's right. There is 100% reason why the Patriots will get back to the Super Bowl. It's because the AFC is a bit of a joke. I mean, you look up and down that list. Are you scared of Andy Reid in the playoffs? Have you seen what he's done at home in Kansas City? Nothing. The Baltimore Ravens could be a test. I would agree. Lamar Jackson in that run game is dangerous. But, again, the Patriots right now, guys, they can change their identity week to week. Oh, you can't stop the run? Well, we'll give you Sony Michel and 240 yards on the ground. That's what we'll do. Oh, the next week, you can't guard tight ends? Well, we still have Gronk. He's not very good, but he's still capable of a huge game. And defensively, I know this is going to shock some people, Stephon Gilmore, the number one rated cornerback according to Pro Football Focus. I can't wait for him to shut down Tyreek Hill in the AFC Championship game. I would lock up the Patriots. If you look at the gambling
the road,
markets.
By the way, if Kansas City gets there,
big
it's on
deal.
The road,
by the way, TJ, gambling markets, there's so much value in the Patriots right now. They're the second best odds to get to the Super Bowl.
By the way, he's not shutting down Tyreek Hill if they play. That's number one. That's not going to happen. When Tom Brady's a quarterback and Bill Belichick is a coach, it's hard to go against him. But the Patriots aren't winning a playoff game this year. I just don't see it. Like, 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying, what's wrong with the Patriots? They suck. They're this. Because they beat the Jets, all of a sudden they're back? Who are the Jets?
They beat the Bills, and he was awful. They lost
how many home playoff losses, TJ, this year for the Patriots?
I get it, but those teams aren't coming through that door.
Yes, they are. Houston's coming there, and they're not.
Rob,
the only team that if they played the Houston Texans because of the way they beat them early, if they played the Houston Texans, I like the Patriots.
If they have to
play the Chargers, they're losing. If they have to play the Baltimore Ravens, they're losing.
Defense travels.
Listen. Both of those, it doesn't matter that they're playing in Foxborough. It does not matter.
Just remember this. It doesn't matter.
You know why it doesn't matter?
Greatest dynasty in NFL history. It doesn't matter.
Personnel does matter, doesn't it?
Personnel matters.
And at some point, you do get old. At some point, and Gronk looks old. And Edelman, as good as Edelman has been, even he looks different since coming off the torn ACL. And they have no other playmakers. They just don't have playmakers on offense. Like, a quarterback can only throw to guys who's open.
TJ, you understand, they are a fluke.
Like, they are a fluke loss away from Miami from being the number one seed. Do you guys realize
that? No, we do, but that's because they're in the worst division in football.
Okay, why that fluke loss? 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying.
Not me.
Weeks ago, everybody was saying
the
Patriots are done. Just because they beat the Jets and the Bills, What changes?
Big picture. When you look at the stats, full season stats, you know Tom Brady has had the best pass protection in the league this year.
He plays six games against the worst division in the sport.
Are they going to do if they got to play the Baltimore Ravens? Do you think they're going to stop their run? You think they're going to be able to move the ball consistently against Baltimore?
TJ, what I feel like you guys are missing is this team is just, they understand how to win against the better teams. This year, they beat four playoff teams. They beat the Bears. They beat
the Chiefs.
They beat the Texans.
Yes.
Who else did they beat? They beat someone else. But the Colts. And so when I look at the New England Patriots, it's not about personnel sometimes. It's about, can we win when it counts? Can everybody step up? I don't care that they beat the Jets or the Bills. What I do care is that they had those two games to get it right so that going into the playoffs, everybody has now gotten a part of that offense. Chris Hogan has gotten a part of the offense. You got Burkhead that's now showing up and making plays. You got so many guys that are willing, that understand in this moment, this is who we are. We are the Patriots. We thrive off of just subpar talent with quality mental guys who don't make a lot of mistakes.
They better hope
that
it's
can
the
do
Houston
any,
Texans.
Every,
they better hope it's the Houston,
and
Texans.
And the Houston Texans.
They better hope.
Houston Texans is going to be one of those hideous Letterman jacket they wore that Monday night when they got
Stop
wow. Let's move to Washington, D.C., where Nick Foles' unlikely heroics continued yesterday with the Super Bowl MVP leading the Eagles back to the playoffs with a win and some help from the Bears in Minnesota. Foles was having another big day, of course, against the beat-up Washington team before leaving the game with bruised ribs. But Doug Peterson, his head coach, said the QB is good to go for this weekend's wildcard game on the road against those Bears. So, Greg, let me ask you, can Nick Foles keep up this magic against Chicago?
No, not even a little bit. When I look at Nick Foles and what he did against the Washington Redskins, do I see him going into Soldier Field against that front seven, that defense, that secondary, and being as effective as? No, absolutely not. He got hit six times in this game this Sunday. Three sacks, and he went down. Fragile Nick Foles. And you're sitting here telling me that.
I didn't tell you. I asked you.
No, but I see how TJ's over here chuckling.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he has the durability physically to stand in that pocket and take this beating. No, absolutely not.
It's going to be tough. My pick is Philadelphia. The way they're playing, when I look at the Chicago Bears, they're very stout defensively. We all know that. If you can put the game in Mitchell Trubisky's hands and force them to throw the ball, you have a chance. Is it easier said than done? Of course it is. These coaches in the NFL get paid a lot of money. They're going to devise a game. What is Philadelphia's strength? Up front. You got Fletcher Cox, you got Haloti Ngata, you got Michael Bennett, you got Long, you got Graham. You got all these guys up front to combat and fight against, technically, the Chicago Bears up front. And you put the game in Mitchell Trubisky's hands, I like the Eagles' chance. It's not about can Nick Foles do it. It's can the Eagles' defense put the game in Trubisky's hands.
Here's what's amazing, right? Nagy comes from Kansas City. Of course, Doug Peterson, also Kansas City. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities in some of the things they do. It's like that Spider-Man meme where they're looking at each other, where they're the same thing.
Andy Reid is basically their mentor.
Right. So there's a lot of – so neither team will score or do anything in the second half, right? They'll both just take a knee in the second half, even if they're tied. I like Nick Foles. I love the Nick Foles story. But some of the Nick Foles story isn't properly told. Right? Earlier this year, he was awful in the preseason. The reason Carson Wentz was rushed back wasn't just because he's Carson Wentz. It's because Nick Foles was awful. Nick Foles was awful last year when he got the job and early on the playoffs. And then he got hot against Minnesota. He runs hot. He's basically Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, for a short period of time, he'll light you up. And then the more and more you see him, whether it's the pressure he puts on himself or whether it's people figuring him out, people tend to figure him out. This is a way better defense than the Washington Redskins, who are depleted, who are a complete mess, than they lit up. I agree with you. Their defense, Philadelphia's, is nasty. Lead the league in hits on a quarterback, 133. And Mitchell Trubisky can be wildly
and
inaccurate.
And the Bears, they don't have – name a skilled guy
on the Bears.
Name one skilled guy.
Hold on. And the Bears
Taylor
have –
Gabriel.
Cohen. Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen.
Allen Robinson. I mean, I could go on, but TJ, here's what you're missing. I mean – Okay, so the Eagles' offense thrives on Zach Ertz, the most targeted tight end in the league, number one option. Guess what the Bears do? Third best in the NFL at defending the tight end. They know how to shut down Ertz, and then what does Foles do? What is Foles going to be left to do? Because he's not going to have time
in
the pocket.
You forgot about the big guy that went to South Carolina?
Yeah, I know Alshon Jeffery's game well, but guess what? The Chicago Bears have one of the best secondaries in pass defense in the league. Nothing that the Eagles do well. I'm getting worked up here, but hold on, Greg. Last stat. You say you don't trust Mitch Trubisky against the Eagles. You know how bad that Eagles secondary is? They've been shredded by every quarterback in the league.
And Mitchell Trubisky's the quarterback.
Trubisky's going to kill them.
He's Bears.
I don't know if he's going to kill them.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And Cody Parkey's a major issue. He missed kick indoors. Fair. He can't kick at Soldier Field. My question was Foles magic. Doesn't mean they won't win. I think Foles magic.
This is a bloodbath.
You got four Pro Bowlers on all levels of that Chicago Bears defense.
They're nasty.
You're not beating those Bears.
But we got to see about Eddie Jackson. He's doubtful with the high ankle sprain. That's actually a big loss. We know he's one of the best playmakers in the league.
Yes, he is.
But when you go position by position, level by level, as he said, the Bears defense.
The Eagles, they have a roster. They have you top to bottom, offensively and defense.
They do have a roster, but a lot of those guys
impressive
are on
roster.
And all those good wins.
Carson Wentz?
By the way, no one's pointed this out, Carson Wentz was active last week. It's not out of the realm possibility Carson Wentz comes in and plays in this game, right? It's not crazy. Sudfeld wasn't bad.
Sudfeld was awesome against the Redskins.
It's not happening. TJ Houshmandzadeh and Jason McIntyre are back. Let's move to Kansas City, where the Raiders' season mercifully came to an end yesterday with a loss to the Chiefs. But the drama of John Gruden era looks like it will continue into the offseason, with the team reportedly hiring former NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock as general manager. Doug, the Raiders now have two TV personalities running their team. Is it going to work?
The commitment to excellence or the commitment to excrement, right? Is that what we're getting to? Look, I think both of you guys know this. There are people that are on TV that cover sports, and there are people that are kind of all about the sport that they cover. And I do think that Mayock is like that. I think Gruden was a football guy who became a personality, not a personality who became a football guy as well. I kind of think it does work, and I'll tell you why. He's not going to be doing normal GM stuff. They have cap guys. They have contract negotiators. And they have John Gruden, who's going to call all the shots. What he's going to do is player and talent evaluation of all the rosters in the NFL, because they have so much cap space, and of all the draftable and undraftable players in the National Football League. Find me a Philip Lindsay. Get me a guy seventh round or not drafted that can make my team as a running back. Find me a quarterback to ultimately replace Derek Carr, because I can wash my hands of Derek Carr this year, or even better next year when it doesn't hit me in the cap. I think that's going to be his job. And as long as he stays in that lane and understands that he's not making the calls at the end of the day, that Gruden's making the final call, why not? This has been his life, in that he loves the draft. He loves knowing personnel. Maybe far too much so, because it took away from his broadcasting skill. He gets so much into the breakdown. But if he just does what he does best, what he's hired to do, I do think it'll actually work.
This is why it will not work. When's the last time you signed up to be micromanaged? You have not. I doubt it. And if you have, something's wrong with you.
No.
But this is why it won't work, because Mike Mayock, he is very talented and gifted at what he does, with breaking down talent, what he sees, being able to assess personnel.
Which is what I just suggested that he'll do.
You're right. But he can offer you even more, and he's going to want to do even more. I'll tell you why he's so special. Number one, he's the only analyst that really knew that yours truly was special coming out of the
draft. That's why you like him. We knew it was
so obvious.
He saw the greatness.
Yes.
And he was the first one to identify it and say it. So I knew
what
he was talking about.
What did he say about Hoosh?
I don't know what he said about
Hoosh. He wasn't on the scene probably when I came out.
I don't know what he said. But no, I don't think it'll work, because you got John Gruden. You got John Gruden's hand in too much here. I just think with him having the last say, when you give a guy that amount of money and give him all that responsibility, you're going to ask him the last say. You're going to give him the last nod. And no one's going to want to sit here and say, hey, I'll do that. I'll just assess guys and leave it alone. No, that's not the case.
The reason I believe it's going to work is because he's been hired. They sat down, and he was told exactly how it's going to work. You're going to evaluate talent. I'm going to pick the talent. And had he not agreed to that, he wouldn't have been hired. Now, this is what's going to happen. As years pass and the more success that Mayock has by, okay, I like this guy, we draft this guy, he's going to want more say-so. Initially, it's going to work because he took the job and he knows what entails this. After a few years, he's going to want more say-so. He's going to want to do more. He's going to want to be able to do more. And Gruden's going to say, no. Do you remember when I hired you? This is what the deal is. And he's not going to like that. But initially, is Mike Mayock good? Yes, he is good at what he does. But he's going to want more responsibility, and Gruden's not going to give it to him.
He
got on all that all black.
100. Yeah,
I wore it today because of the coaches in remembrance of the coaches that lost their jobs today.
Black Monday.
100% love this dude move. Okay, you go outside the box. You do something different than the way everybody else does it. I love that 100% of the time. Look at the Warriors. They pick Steve Kerr. Guy who'd never been a head coach, right? Oh, we'll make him the head coach to see how that works out. Hey, look at McVay goes to the Rams. Never been a head coach. Young guy, youngest head coach, I believe, in forever in the NFL. Worked out great. I like outside the box. You could copy everyone else and do what they do and bring on retreads that other guys have had in their front offices. This is a smart move. Doing something different, identifying a guy who's been only focus has been the draft for the last, what, decade? That's all Mayock's done. He knows all the scouts. He knows all the teams. He knows everybody intimately. This is a brilliant move. And I've taken a lot of shots at Gruden. I just love this outside the box move.
Does this almost look like it? He had no choice but to take this. He interviewed for other GM jobs before. Nobody hired him. The Raiders wanted to interview Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese said, oh, no. I'm not about to come here and basically have no say-so. Mayock wanted a GM gig, and the Raiders were pretty much the only team that would give it to him. So it wasn't like, oh, they went outside the box. He had no choice.
He's also very close with Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator. They're lifelong friends. Look, I think that what John Gruden is doing is – first, he assessed the situation, right? He's like, man, we stink. And they said, well, you got Khalil Mack. He's awesome. Khalil Mack is awesome, but we stink. So I'm going to get above market value for Khalil Mack. Got two first-round picks. Everybody said he couldn't. He did. Hey, then he looks at his offense. He's like, what else can I move? Amari Cooper. We're not very good. He's going to make $14 million next year. He got a first-round pick when everybody else was offering a second or a third-round pick. Killing the Eagles only offered, I think, a third-round pick for him. So he got market value for his assets. Then he looks around, he's like, all right, I got cap space. I need to hire people that know what I don't know. That's what really smart people do. And as much as John Gruden liked doing the draft and liked interviewing guys, he didn't know all of what Mike Mayock knows. And so he's hired people to do what he doesn't want to do because he wants to coach quarterbacks. He wants to coach offense. He wants the Raiders to win. And I actually think this makes a ton of sense. It doesn't mean that it absolutely – I can't go 100% that it works.
No, I said 100%.
But I think it's a unique idea in that if it, you don't – guys don't make decisions. It's not Gruden making every decision. It's not going to be Mayock making. They get in a room, and they make a call. And now, look, there's going to be a player where Mike Mayock stands on the table and said, draft this guy or I quit. And there's going to be a time in which John Gruden says, who's the head coach? Who's the president? Who's
making the most money? I think John Gruden's ultimately
I don't think he'll make every decision. I don't think that's how it actually works with really good teams. I think he's learned from some of his mistakes in the past. I hope, and he'll take some of the advice of the talented people he's putting around him.
One last note. You mentioned they could get out of Carr's contract this offseason. That's 100% spot on. And the interesting thing is, what if they can acquire more draft picks in a trade of Carr or just releasing him?
Hey,
because a lot of teams
crazy?
Need quarterbacks. They got three first-round picks, Hoosh, and now you got Mayock.
He had a great GM
show?
In Reggie McKenzie. No. Great GM.
No.
He had done great things.
No, they had some. They had cap issues. He made some bad draft. He made some good draft picks, but he made some bad.
No, he made great draft picks.
No, they were a bad team. They were a bad team who went forward on fourth down and went for two and had one great year. That's not a great GM.
A great GM puts
you in position for a long-term success. They were not built for long-term success with Reggie.
How many GMs that a first-time GM drafts a Hall of Fame player? Not many. Not many. And perennial Pro Bowler.
But you make
and Amari Cooper. Not many.
You I'm make with you, TJ.
But Amari Cooper was bad the past 2 years.
We gotta go. Earlier in the show, we talked about Mike Tomlin, who had a rough day yesterday, missing out on the playoffs to cap what has been the most dramatic season of his tenure as a head football coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get our approval ratings for Mike Tomlin. I personally have Mike Tomlin at GOAT status. It's simple for me. When I look at his job performance, obviously he didn't get it done this year. 9-6-1, that's not going to cut it. So I got him at 19. Then when I look at this,
they didn't make the playoffs. The best wide receiver in football.
They didn't make the playoffs
with a two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback.
And this is why I know he's at GOAT status for me.
Okay.
Because you didn't make the playoffs. You could have made the playoffs, but a fumble could have locked it up a couple weeks ago. This week, you still do your job. You win the game. You don't have your running back that started off the season saying, "I'm not coming in."
Right.
Good coach.
Okay, I have more all-star caliber if you look at the total. I only gave him a 10.
A 10?
10 for this year. Why? It starts with Le'Veon Bell. Look, I understand the hard and fast stance that the team took. Okay, but the fact that he has offensive linemen speaking out against their running back.
That's the guy.
No, it is him. You know he's who's the leader?
Nope, that's
who's in charge.
I understand that.
Who's the sergeant? Who's the big toe? It's Mike Tomlin. Okay, the buck does stop there. I think he's an outstanding coach. I think he's authentic. I think he's got great character. I think he's got all-star status. I do think he failed this year with the Steelers failing to make the playoffs.
He's a GOAT.
Really? Belichick's the GOAT.
Belichick's the GOAT.